Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor at Neely's Bend Baptist Church, and I just want to say thank you for listening to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. In this week's sermon from Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 through 16, we see the death of deaths. We see that Jesus' death has destroyed the power of the devil over death. We see that Jesus' death delivers those who believe from the fear of death. And we see that through Jesus' death, it allows him to help the believers. We hope you enjoy this sermon from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And if you have any questions about the gospel of Jesus Christ or about Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks and have a blessed week.
Amen. Thank you, Marty and Keith, for leading us in worship. Make sure I have my mic on. Am I on? Yes, I think I hear myself now. Just wanted to make sure, but it's great to see all of you this morning. Great to have all of our visitors and guests with us this morning. It's good to see you here, good to have you here, and we are grateful that you are here. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, we're going to continue in the book of what? Hebrews, what chapter? Chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to continue making our way through the book of Hebrews. And today we're in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And the Word of God says this: Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being able to gather here this morning to worship you, to praise you. God, we thank you that through and because of the death of Jesus, Lord, we are able to have life and we're able to gather in groups of people all across this world and worship you. God, this morning, as we come to your word, Lord, I pray that you will just open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to be able to see, hear, know, and receive your word this morning. And God, I pray that we in return will take this word and we will live this word out in our lives, because it's such a powerful word. God, this morning I pray that you will just help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion, Lord. That you will help me to preach your word and your word alone, God. God, I pray I'm just a mouthpiece for you, a vessel for your kingdom. God, I pray all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Death. Death is an unfortunate reality that we will all face one day. And because we will all face this reality, it is very much something that we all fear, isn't it? Humanity fears death. It is a real and it is universal in that every single human on this earth will one day pass away. And because of that, we fear death. It's why many people try to live their lives safe as possible. It's why many people try to do their best not to get sick, because sickness can often lead to death. It's why we as humans fear disease and cancer, because it can have an unfortunate ending. In 2020, we experienced a pandemic, didn't we? The COVID pandemic, and it would be one that would spread the fear of death to just about every individual. It is why we were told to stay home. It's why we were told to wear masks. It's why we were told to distance ourselves from family, from friends, from others in our community. It's why we were told to take a vaccine, as many of us received that vaccine in order to stay alive in order to stay alive, because we feared death. Because death felt so much sooner in those moments than it ever felt before. We feared it. R. Kent Hughes, in his commentary on Hebrews, he lists 5 reasons why people fear death. We fear death because it can be painful at times. We fear death because it separates us from what we know and those we love, the family that we love. We fear death because of the fear of the unknown. What happens when we die after death? That's why we ask those questions. What are we going to do after we die? We fear death. Number 4, we fear death because we fear the idea of no longer being, no longer existing. Where are we going to be? What does that look like? And finally, we fear death because of possible everlasting punishment. While these 5 reasons are all examples of why people fear death, I'm certain there are many more reasons why people fear death. Some of you here may have your own reasons of why you fear death. But in some way, at some point in your life, or maybe even now, you are fearing death. Is that you today? Are you living in fear of death? Does death have a grip on you? Or are you resting in the comfort of eternal life, spiritual life that is given by none other than Jesus? Church, our passage today is a passage that teaches us as Christians we should not live in fear of death. My hope, my purpose of preaching this passage to you today is that you will find comfort and rest in knowing that because you as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, no longer have to fear death. Because you have been given eternal life in Jesus. Because you have been made alive in Jesus. So therefore, in our sermon today, we're going to see 3 effects, supposed to be effects, 3 effects of Jesus' death. Before we go there, let's remember where we are in our passage. If we go back to chapter 1, we see that Jesus, or chapter 1 showed us that Jesus is superior to the prophets of the Old Testament and that God has now spoken through His Son. In chapter 1, we also saw that Jesus is superior to the angels and that He is far greater in name. He's far superior than any angel. And in chapter 2, we had a warning to not drift away from the gospel and from God's Word. And that through Jesus, those who believe will one day rule the world to come. And we are now seeing that it was fitting for God to make our Savior, Jesus, perfect through suffering. That is, through death. And this fitting Savior, as we saw last week, was unashamed of His family. He's unashamed of His brothers and sisters. And this week, we're going to see 3 effects of the fitting Savior's death. 3 effects of the fitting Savior's death. The first effect that we see is that Jesus' death destroys the power of the devil over death. Jesus' death destroys the power of the devil over death. Read with me verse 14 again. It says this: "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death." That is, the devil. 2 things here. The first is this: Jesus was human. Jesus was incarnate. He was a man just like you and I. Jesus has partaking of the same things we as humans do. He shares in flesh and blood, as our passage teaches us here. He was flesh. He had skin just like we do. He was blood. He had blood just like we do. When Jesus got nicked on His skin or He got cut, He bled blood. And it was red, just like our blood is when we bleed. Jesus was a human. And He shares in everything that you and I share in, except sin. You see, Jesus was born from a mother just as we were born from a mother. He was a baby, just as we were a baby. He was a toddler. He went through the terrible twos, just as we all went through the terrible twos and was a toddler. He was a kid. He was a teenager. He was a young adult, and he was an adult. Jesus went through many of the same life stages that each and every one of us have gone through. And Jesus, he also got hungry. Remember, just like we get hungry, right? He also ate food, just like we eat food. He also slept when he got tired. He also worked a job. He experienced pain. And when Jesus stubbed his toe, it hurt just as much as it hurts me and you. Jesus experienced pain. Jesus was also tempted, just as you and I are tempted. We see in Matthew chapter 4 a full display of Jesus being tempted by Satan, don't we? But yet, Jesus did not what? He did not sin. He never sinned once in his entire life. But yet, Jesus experienced death just as you and I are going to experience death one day. But Jesus was different, right? Because 3 days later, what happened? Jesus rose from the grave. He was resurrected from the dead. Church, the point the author is making here is that Jesus is a human, just as you and I are. The only thing different is that he is also God. Jesus was and is the God-man. And he had to be the God-man, or else he would not be able to overcome death and destroy the power of the devil. And that leads us to the second thing for us to know. The power of the devil was destroyed by Jesus' death. The power of the devil was destroyed by Jesus' death. Write that down. Now I know what you are thinking. Does the devil actually have power over death right now? Does he? Does he actually have power? And this is something we have to ask from this passage, because it specifically says that the devil has power over death. So what are we to do with that? What are we to make of that? And first, I want you to know that God is the one who ultimately has the power over life and death. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6, it teaches us that God is the one who gives life and God is the one who takes life away. Therefore, the devil does not ultimately have the power over death. But the devil certainly does have power, doesn't he? We see in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says this, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of God. Of the evil one." That is the devil. Jesus tells us that the devil is the ruler of the world in John chapter 12, verse 31, and in also in John 14, verse 30. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it teaches us that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." In their case, let me go back through this for you. In their case, in the unbeliever's case, the God of this world, who's the God of this world? We already know who that is. It is Satan. It is the devil. The devil has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. Tell me, how does the devil blind the minds of unbelievers? He influences them to do the very thing that causes death: sin. He influences them to sin. He influences people to sin and to live in that sin. And that sin is going to bring death. As a matter of fact, it brings and makes them spiritually dead in that very moment. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I like what this teaches us here. It gives us a good picture of this. And the very first verse of Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." Death, I want you to know, isn't just physical. It's not just a physical death. Death is also spiritual, in that when an unbeliever dies, they die two deaths. They die a physical death, and they die a spiritual death. And that spiritual death ultimately results in them being thrown into hell, an everlasting torment, all because of sin against a holy God. But who was the one who influenced that sin? Satan. We go on to the next verse, verse 2, "In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit is now at work in the sons of disobedience." And in verse 3, "Among whom we all once lived," telling us that even thus, as believers, we all were once dead in our sins. We were once dead in our sins. We were once ruled by the power of the devil. We were once ruled by him. But it goes on to say, "Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." So how does Satan have power over death? He influences the thing that causes death. The devil influences people to sin, and sin brings death. And if you remember, it all started in the garden. Remember, way back in the garden, Adam and Eve were told to not partake from the one tree in the garden, right? Given that one command. But what did the devil do? He influenced them, right? He influenced them. And what did they do? They sinned. And that sin brought what? Death. It brought death. All at that one moment, it brought death to every single person that would follow Adam and Eve. Even Adam and Eve were told they would die. Romans 6:23, it begins by saying, "For the wages of sin is what? Death. Death." The devil has power over death because he influences the very thing that causes death. But Jesus, through death, might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. This is the second thing here. Jesus' death has now destroyed the power of the devil. The devil no longer holds his full power because now people can be made alive. Amen. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 2 here, verses the one that we read 1 through 3, and we saw that all, you know, trespasses and sin leads to what? Death. But when we go to verse 4 and 5, we see, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses," what does it say? "Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Church, all of us who believe were once dead in our sins, as Ephesians teaches us here. But now we have been made alive in Christ. Amen? Because of His death, because of what He did on the cross, because of what He accomplished on the cross. Yes, we are still going to die a physical death, but you know what? We will never die a spiritual death. We will never die a spiritual death because Christ has made our spirits alive. He has given us life. The only way to defeat death was to defeat sin. And what did Jesus do? He defeated sin. And therefore, upon His death, Jesus defeated death when He sinlessly died. Tom Schreiner, in his commentary on Hebrews, he says this: "Death is only undone through death. Death is only undone through death. Death only dies through the death of Jesus. Death only dies through the death of Jesus. And what that means is that for death to be overcome, Jesus Himself had to die. For life to be able to be given, Jesus had to die. And through His death, He can give life. Spiritual life. Eternal life. And that eternal life that is given to those who believe will never, ever, ever be taken away because Satan has lost his power. Church, in this world, the devil is still ruling, isn't he? The devil still has power to influence people to sin. And because he still has that power, he's still leading people to death. But his power has been lost in that Jesus, in that people can now come to Jesus and have life. And have life. His power has been lost in that even though He can still sway believers to sin, He cannot take that life away from them. Because the devil has lost his power. That sin no longer condemns because Christ's death has paid the price. And we as believers can rest. We can rest in knowing that the devil no longer holds power over those who believe. Because we have life in Christ. The second effect that we see is that Jesus' death delivers believers from the fear of death. Jesus' death delivers those who believe from the fear of death. Read with me verse 15 again. And deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. From this verse, there's two things for us to know. The first is that fear of death enslaves us. Fear of death enslaves us. Those who have a fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery, as our passage teaches us. And what this means is that when you live in fear of death, it controls you. It controls how you live. It controls what you do. It controls so much about who you are because you are terrified of dying. You basically live your life indebted to the fear of death. It's almost like living in massive debt. Living in a massive hole of debt that you are struggling to pay back. You're drowning in it. You work in order to pay that debt. You get a better job that pays more in order to pay the debt. You get an extra job in order to pay the debt. Now that you're working two jobs, you don't plan outings, you don't plan vacations, you don't plan trips, you don't go shopping, you buy the cheapest groceries, you don't eat out because you are in massive debt and you are enslaved to the lender. You're living enslaved, ain't you, to that debt. Every move you make, everything you do is to pay that debt off. When we have a fear of death, it is very much like drowning in debt and trying to pay it off and being enslaved to the lender. It controls every move we make. It controls every decision we make. We very much live enslaved to that fear. And honestly, it just doesn't sound like a very joyful way of living, doesn't it? You live scared. You live timid. You live afraid. You live terrified that something is going to go all right and you will die. But physical death is inevitable. You cannot escape it. Because we will all one day pass away. And that is a very, very sad reality. But this leads us to the second thing. The death of Jesus frees us. The death of Jesus frees us from that fear of death. Meaning that those who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will continue to live a spiritual and eternal life in heaven. And that only comes through the Deliverer. Remember, what does our pastor say? And deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Jesus' death delivers us from the fear of death through His very own death. Because through the death of Jesus, He gives what? Life. Spiritual life. Eternal life to those who believe. We all know John 3:16, don't we? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not what? Perish. But what does it say? Have everlasting life. Eternal life. That life that we get from Jesus, the salvation that comes from Jesus, sets us free from the fear of death. It delivers you from that fear of death because it gives you a hope because you now have spiritual life in Christ. It gives you comfort because you now have spiritual life in Christ. It gives you joy because you now have spiritual life in Christ. It gives you peace because you now are in the hands of the Father and have spiritual life in Christ. It gives you security because God will never leave you nor forsake you. And you have life, spiritual life in Christ. You no longer have to live anxious and in fear of death because your hope rests in the life that Christ has given you. Your hope rests in the salvation of Jesus, and that removes all fear of death. You no longer have to fear that death because as Christ was risen, so too will all those who are His brothers and sisters, all those who believe in Jesus, will rise again when He returns. We will take us home to the new heaven and the new earth. Church, believers, are you living in fear of death? I'm not saying that you should begin to live your life irresponsible. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches us to do. But is your life consumed with the fear of death? Are you enslaved to that fear of death? The Bible teaches us that Christ, through His death, has removed that fear from us because He has given us eternal life, spiritual life. Can I tell you a story of a man and a woman who did not fear death? Jim and Elizabeth Elliott were missionaries in the Ecuadorian jungle. Many of you probably heard the story of Jim and Elizabeth Elliott. You know who they are. Jim and four other men were trying to make contact with the Aka, the Wa'adani tribe, in the Ecuadorian jungle. And while they were trying to make that contact with these people, on the shore of where they are going to make this contact with the tribe, they were all four, Jim and the four other men, so I guess all five of them, were speared and killed. They were martyred, trying to take the gospel to these people. The very people that they were going to minister to killed them. These men, let me tell you, they did not have a fear of death. Because their hope was in the life that Christ had given them, and they wanted to share that very life with those people. Shortly after, his wife, Elizabeth Elliott, and their young daughter, when I say young daughter, I mean very, very young daughter, think my daughter or younger, if that makes sense, would then continue to try to reach out to that tribe. And she would go to that tribe, go to the very people that killed her husband, and proclaim the gospel to them. You know what happened? She was able to go to that tribe again. She was able to share the gospel with people in that tribe. People in that tribe began to believe the gospel. She would eventually move herself and her daughter and live amongst the people, the very people that killed her husband. You know why she was able to do that? Because she had no fear of death. Her hope was in Christ. She rested in Him and Him alone. That's what happens. That's how we live when we don't have a fear of death. We live in a way that Christ is able to use us for no matter the cause. We have seen that Jesus' death destroys the devil and His power over death. And we just saw that Jesus' death delivers those who believe from the fear of death. But now let's look at verse 16. It's our third and final effect. And this is about Jesus. And this is the third and final effect from the death of Jesus. Jesus' death allows Him to help believers. Jesus' death allows Him to help believers. So look at verse 16 with me here. It says this, "For surely it is not angels that He helps." It is not angels that Jesus helps, but Jesus helps the offspring of Abraham. The author of Hebrews now brings angels back into the picture. Angels has been a topic. It's been a theme that has transgressed from the end of chapter 1 all the way till here and throughout chapter 2. We saw in chapter 1 that Jesus was superior to the angels, and now we see that Jesus doesn't help the angels, but rather He helps the descendants, the offspring of Abraham. Why does Jesus not help the angels? Why? Why does Jesus not help them? There's two reasons why. One, because it wasn't in God's plans for angels to ever be redeemed. Angels are holy and eternal beings, with exception to those who are fallen angels. But even those angels will never be redeemed, because we see in Revelation that they are thrown into the lake of fire along with their leader, Satan. But second, it's because Jesus was never an angel Himself. Jesus has always been superior to the angels, hasn't He? And Jesus was also human. He was not an angel. Jesus was a human. Remember in verse 14 that we just looked at earlier? What does it say? Jesus partook of the same flesh and blood as the children, the believers, His brothers and sisters. And therefore He helps the offspring of Abraham because He was like them, not like the angels. And now we ask, who's the offspring of Abraham? The offspring of Abraham is those who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The offspring of Abraham is the sons and daughters that God brings to glory. It is those who have been sanctified by Jesus. It is the brothers and sisters of Jesus. It is the children that have been given to Jesus. Believers. Believers are the offspring of Abraham. And He helps them. He helps them. He helps them in two ways. First, He saves them. And secondly, He leads them through life. The word help here in this passage literally means to take hold, meaning that Jesus has taken hold of the offspring of Abraham and He leads them. When my daughter was younger and she was learning to walk, I would take hold of her hands and I would hold her up and lead her to learn how to walk. Does that make sense? Taking hold, leading, all those things, helping learn how to walk. And this is similar to what Jesus does for us. He takes hold of those who are the children of Abraham and He leads them to Himself. He leads them to life. He leads them to salvation. And then He continues to hold them and leads us all the way to heaven. Church, believers, Jesus has taken a hold of you and you will never escape the hold of Jesus. And we can always, always go to Him because He will help us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be with us because He was a human just like you and I. But yet he was also God at the same time. Are you trusting in the hold Jesus has on you? Are you trusting in the help that Jesus brings to you? And the help that Jesus can give you? Or are you trying to do it all on your own? I've often heard the phrase, Jesus only helps those who helps themselves. You ever heard that before? That is a lie. It's a lie. You know why? Because we can't help ourselves get to heaven. We can't help ourselves. But Jesus helps those who can't help themselves. Jesus helps people just like you and I, who can't do it on our own. That's a truth to stand on. Jesus helps because we are His brothers and sisters, and He loves us, and He cares for us. In our sermon today, we have seen three effects of Jesus' death. We've seen that Jesus' death destroys the power of the devil. We've seen that Jesus' death delivers believers from the fear of death. And lastly, we saw that Jesus' death allows Him to help believers. The death could only be overcome by death. And Jesus' death was the one to overcome it and destroy the power of the devil over death, to deliver the people, deliver believers from the fear of death, and to help those who believe. May we never forget the greatness of Jesus' death and how through His death we have been made alive. We have been given life, and death no longer has a hold on those of us who believe. And there will come a day, there will come a day when Christ returns and all His followers, all His believers will put on the imperishable body, will put on the immortal body, and we will rise. We will go to heaven. And we will spend eternity with our Savior. As in 1 Corinthians, I love what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 and 55 says. And the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality. Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. And then in verse 55, O death, where is your sting? Or excuse me, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Church, death no longer has victory over us. Amen. Death no longer stings because Christ has died the death of death, and all His followers have life, spiritual life, eternal life in Him. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as verse 58 says, in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Church, there are three ways we live this out, and they all come from that very verse there. Live steadfast, live immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. Because church, when we live steadfast, when we live an immovable life, we will be unwavering. We will live steady. We will live unswerving. We will live faithful. We will live committed. And we will live devoted and dedicated to Jesus. Because He has given us life. He has made us alive. Because Jesus is the very one who conquered death, the very one who overcame sin and death. Because Jesus has delivered us from the fear of death and given us life. And we must always, absolutely must always be abounding in the work of the Lord, living in obedience to Him, following His commands, and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus to all those around us. Because just as we were once dead, every unbeliever that's in this world is dead. And they're one day going to die a physical death, and they're going to die a spiritual death. So what should we do? What should we do? Take the gospel to them. take the gospel, share the gospel, preach the gospel to them, because it is through the gospel and through Jesus that they can have life. Life eternal. I want to encourage you to find someone, a friend, a family member, a co-worker, a retired buddy, and share the gospel with them. Because your friend, your family member, your co-worker, your retired buddy that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, they are headed on a trajectory to hell. Because they're going to die one day. And whenever they face the judgment of Jesus, they will not be able to turn back then. It's too late at that moment. But if we can share the gospel with them now, and Jesus can save them now, they will inherit eternal life. Amen. If you are here today and you have never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you've never turned your life to Him, you've never surrendered your life to Him, I want you to know that in this moment you are dead in your sins and trespasses. And you are going to die one day. And if you never believe in Jesus Christ before that death, you will be eternally separated from God. But I also want you to know that God has made a way by sending His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you and your sins so that you can be made alive and have that relationship with Jesus, with God, restored. God is a holy God. We are sinners, and that separates us. But God sent Jesus, who lived a holy life, and when Jesus saves us, that holiness is put over us. And God then sees us as holy and righteous, and we will be redeemed and that relationship restored. So this morning, if you feel or you believe that the Lord is calling you to Himself, that the Lord is drawing you to Himself, that the Lord is inclining you to believe in Him, I want to challenge you right now to respond by believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Respond by believing that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus lived a sinless life, that Jesus died on the cross, a sacrificial death with no mistakes, that He was put in a grave, and on the third day He rose again, overcoming sin and death so you can have life. If that's you this morning, believe in those things. Believe in the gospel. And God's word says you will be saved. And I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you about that. During our time of invitation here in just a moment, come down. Let's talk about what Jesus has done in your life. If that makes you uncomfortable, the back door, I'll be standing there. Talk to me there and let's talk about what Jesus has done in your life. If that makes you uncomfortable, I want you to know that I'm here just about every day this week, or actually not this week, I'm going to be out of town the first 3 days this week. But after that, I want you to know that I want to talk to you about what Jesus has done in your life. We can go grab lunch. We can go get some tacos and taco about Jesus. We can do whatever we want to, all right? Amen. We can make a way to talk about Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for You sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We thank You so much that Jesus had died the death of deaths. The death that would overcome death. The death that would destroy the power of the devil and the death he has, or the power he holds over death. We thank You that Jesus' death has delivered us from the fear of death. And Lord, I pray that we no longer live in that fear. And God, I pray that we will remember that because Jesus has died for us, we always have a help in Him.